Lord, help us to commence this morning by singing hymn number 11. Hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11.
Thank you. Let us turn in God's word to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah's prophecy, the 38th chapter. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more, with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness from day even to night. Wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even till night wilt thou make an end of me, like a crane or a swallow. So did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail were looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast, in love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Most holy and gracious God, help us now to draw near and venture before thy throne in worship and in prayer. Teach us what to ask for. Amen, Lord, give us the faith to watch for the answers which thou wilt send. We thank thee, Lord, for that mercy in Jesus we've been singing of as we have opened our worship here this day. And there would be no point us coming without that fountain of mercy, of love, of grace. May those streams of mercy never ceasing call from our hearts songs of loudest praise this day for thy kindness, for thy compassion, for thy faithfulness, for thy amazing grace and love. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies and kindnesses to each one of us through another week of time. And now we come to the beginning of another week. Now we come again to thy day. Welcome, sweet day of rest, which saw the Lord arise. And may the King himself draw near and feast our souls this day. May we with wonder view thee here, and love and praise and pray. We thank thee for all thy mercies to us in time past and at this present moment of time. And help us, Lord, to thank thee for mercies yet to come. Thy providential care over us each. That measure of health and strength we all have. Our homes, our loved ones, our possessions, our faculties, our careers, our comforts, our freedoms to worship. The food and drink we have in abundance. Help us, Lord, to give thee thanks for these mercies. Make us truly grateful for them. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for the bread and water of life for our souls. And give us this day an appetite, a desire, a hunger, a thirst, a need to be fed and watered in our souls. May, Lord, that be one of the main reasons we have come this day. May we know what it is to banquet with the King of Kings, with the friend of sinners. Break thou, Lord, the bread of life thyself unto us. Give us to drink of those living waters. May they fill the dry places like a river. And may we be ever thankful to thee for the provision for our souls. We thank thee for the blood, the righteousness, the care, the love, the prayers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Where would we be without thee, Lord Jesus? We thank thee for the love of the Father, for the work of the Spirit, for the way of salvation, for thy precious word of truth, and any word which thou thyself may have given to us. Lord, teach us what it is to live lives of thanksgiving to thee for thy mercy. Grant us, Lord, thy help, thy presence, and thy blessing here today. Bless unto us thine own word. Make it the word of power and the word of God to our souls. May it take root and bear fruit which abides. And bless, we pray, this house of prayer, We thank thee, Lord, for bringing our friend through an accident and an operation back to giving out the hymns. We pray that thou wouldst continue to grant unto him those restoring, healing mercies, the relief of pain, and could it please thee, the restoration of full strength and health. And bless him and his fellow deacon also in the office thou have called them to. Bless them in the exercise of the hymns which are sung, and in the reading services which are read from time to time. And grant them wisdom and grace in their office, and help them. Bless each church member. Unite them in love to thee and to each other. And may there ever be that bond of love and that felt union they feel to each other. May Satan be kept out. May, Lord, there be no gaps, as it were, in the fence for a little fox to creep through and wreak havoc. How solemn it is, Lord, it often only takes a little fox to bring something which is anything but little to thy people. Protect thy church, we pray. Remember the congregation, each one. Bless them each in their souls, and supply their needs in their providential pathways. Lord, each here have their different pathways in life with different needs. Bear those burdens, relieve those cares, supply those needs. Guide in each pathway, open doors for them, shut doors for them. Guide them, guard them, keep them. And above all, give each a living faith in a living Lord Jesus. And do answer the prayers that perhaps to some here seem impossible could ever be answered. Perhaps, Lord, they've given up praying even. May they prove that their great high priest hasn't given up praying for them. And may they receive an abundant answer of peace. Gather into this church those lambs and sheep of thy flock. Gather into this congregation those lambs and sheep of thy flock and those who will be born as lambs under the preaching of thy word. Bless the ministry here week by week, service by service, month by month. Bless the labours in the Sunday school. May, Lord, the seed sown in those young lives bear an abundant harvest in time to come. And those, Lord, who used to go to the Sunday school but have long perhaps gone on to grown up, Lord, yet thou could still bring back to them what they heard in the Sunday school all those years ago. And it can be used for their profit spiritually. May it be so, we pray. Remember, Lord, any who are ill and unwell, unable to be here. Remember our friend who was taken ill at the beginning of the service, and grant unto him restoration, we pray. Bless him in his life. And bless, we pray, those who are bearing burdens which they feel are too heavy to carry. Help them, Lord, to this day by faith cast them on thee. And then, Lord, may they feel that thou art carrying it for them. and enabling them to go on in the way which thou hast set before them. Remember, Lord, thy church this day as it meets for worship throughout the world. Help thy servants today to preach the word of God with power, with application, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Bless thy word this day to many souls. Bless it, Lord, to the living, and bless it to the dead, that they may today become living. May, Lord, there be many lambs born into thy flock today, from this house of prayer and from many others in our land and in other lands. May, Lord, there be many who are fed today and whose faith is strengthened and matured. May many by faith be led to that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness when Jesus died, and feel and know that there is still power in the blood of Jesus Christ to save from all sin. Help us now as we come to consider thy word. Open unto us the precious treasures and glorious truths of thy gospel. And may, Lord, this day we know what those disciples knew on the Emmaus road when their hearts burned because thou wast with them. So may we prove thy name, Emmanuel. God is with us this day. As we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 339. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339.
seeking the Lord's help. We turn this morning to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 38, and the last part of the first verse. Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This is one of the sayings of the Lord which applies without exception to us each. Many of the words in God's word apply only to his people. This one applies to us all. Because the Lord has said it. And whatever the Lord says comes to pass in his time. Thus saith the Lord. Whenever we read words like this, it should arouse prayerful interest and undivided attention. Because they're the words of our Creator, of our Judge, of our King, of the one who we will one day stand before, who will one day speak face to face individually with each one of us. And dependent on what he says will depend on where we will then spend an eternity. Thus saith the Lord. Where the word of a king is, we read in the Psalms somewhere, there is power. That means that in biblical days, the king was not like in our day a constitutional ruler who doesn't really have much power. In Bible days, the king's word was law. And what he said went. There was power, there was authority in his words that there was not in any other person in the kingdom. Because of who he was. Well, when we come to the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the power and authority behind his words far surpass any power, even of an absolute monarchy in this world. Thus saith the Lord. And some of you have known, have you not, in your own hearts, thus saith the Lord. This is the work of God's grace and his Spirit in our hearts. Real religion is God speaking to you. Has he ever spoken to you? If he hasn't, you haven't got any religion worthy of the name. If you've never prayed before, begin here with this prayer: Lord, speak to me. Say it's only a simple prayer. Simple prayers are often those with the most life in them. And God does not despise or reject prayers of a very few words. What does the young people's hymn say? Thy sheep, thou saidst, thy sheep do hear thy voice. Am I a sheep, Lord, of thy choice? Speak then, and bid my heart rejoice. Lord, speak to me. If it be thy will that I should wait for many years at mercy's gate, for Christ reveal to my poor heart, yet speak to me. Tell me I shall not wait in vain, that I thy blessing shall obtain. Of Christ revealed to my poor heart, Lord, speak to me. Because, friends, if he never ever speaks to you here, the only word you'll ever hear from him face to face is depart. For I never knew you. He'll never say that if he speaks to you here on earth first. Because he only speaks to those who he knows in his covenant of grace and mercy. Thus saith the Lord. Some of you have known a word of conviction. The reason that the words which follow this clause are so solemn, and why Hezekiah felt they were solemn and serious, is that he was a sinner in God's sight. And it may not seem to you in life to be that serious. Perhaps it hadn't to Hezekiah. It will when you come face to face with death. Our sin is a serious matter to God. And he will ensure it is a serious matter to us, whether that is savingly or whether it is not. And if you've ever had a word of conviction, thank God for it, because you needed it. Would you have sought for mercy that you sang of in our opening hymn, and some of you have then gone on to experience? Had you never known yourself as a sinner in God's sight and never been brought to see something of the awful reality of being a sinner? Thus saith the Lord. And remember, what he says is right. You might not agree with him that you are a sinner. It does not matter. If he says you're a sinner, you're a sinner. And that's what will matter. That's what will count in the day of judgment. Thus saith the Lord. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah says later on, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. Why? Because he did not feel ready to die. He did not feel ready to meet his judge. If the Lord said this to you today with power, and if with power he said to you before this day was out, you would die, would you welcome him? Would you be ready for what follows? Or would it be the worst possible news you could ever have? Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. You know, I once heard the last words of a ruler somewhere, I think in Central America he was, South America rather. And his last words were, I do not want to die. There's still so much I have yet to achieve on earth. But he still died, even though he didn't want to. Because that's the power that God has over us. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And after death, we are told, comes the judgment. Our lives will be judged by God as to whether they have or have not met his standard, which he has revealed in his word. And if we are judged before him in that day, in that moment, for that standard not to have been met, hell will follow. No unpardoned sinner can get to heaven. And no pardon can ever be found in hell. You remember the parable of those 10 virgins? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. So many ways they were similar. Both sets had a lamp. Probably they were identical to look at in appearance and in size. That is speaking of the profession of faith. All of us here, by coming to the Lord's house week by week, we have a lamp of profession. But friend, remember, just having the lamp did not save any of the virgins. And neither will it save you or me. What was the difference? The wise had oil. The foolish did not. The wise had oil when they needed it most. The moment the bridegroom came, the foolish did not. And it seems they didn't realize it or worry about it until that moment. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And then we read they went to buy, but it was too late. They were shut out forever from that marriage. Friends, there will come a time when it will be too late to seek for salvation and for pardon. What do we read a few chapters later? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. A word of exhortation followed by encouragement, but also the inference in those first words is that there will be a time when he can be sought but not be found. There will be those who will call upon him when he's not near. And of course that is speaking of hell after death. And those who come to that awful place will spend an eternity seeking for pardon, seeking for deliverance, seeking for peace, seeking for salvation, seeking for all that they neglected to seek on earth, but they will seek in vain. In a spiritual sense, set thine house in order is a word for each and every one of us to seek the salvation that God has revealed in his word and to call upon him now. In this time state, because it would be too late after death. And notice how original it is. Set thine house in order. Don't set someone else's house in order. You know, some people, it seems their hope rests on other people's sins. And they think because they haven't done what others have done, they're going to be all right. But you know, in the day of judgment, you won't be called to account for someone else's sins, even though they may have been greater than your own. It'll be your own sins that you will be called to account for. Set thine house in order. For thou shalt die and not live. You know, there are those by grace who are prepared for this moment. And Hezekiah was afterwards. If he begins weeping, he ends singing. He begins convicted, he ends being pardoned. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. What blessed words they are. And that is what you and I need. And you need all your sins cast behind his back. Because do you know, friends, the least sin we commit, if it isn't cast behind his back, will shut us out of heaven forever. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And that is what brought peace to Hezekiah at the close of this chapter. That is what brought peace to the Apostle Paul in the prison cell under sentence of death, which was not going to be revoked. But if you go to that last chapter in the second epistle to Timothy, you see there the peace that that man is experiencing. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. So there are those who by grace are prepared for this moment. There are even those who will welcome it. The home call. Many years ago, 30 years ago now, there was a member of one of our churches who was in the middle of life. And he was suddenly struck down with cancer. And the consultant who had his case in hand told him bluntly there was nothing that could be done, that he was going to die, probably not that long in advance. And after he had conveyed that news to him, he apologized to him and sympathized and said, "I'm sorry, I have to bring you such news. And I wish I didn't have to. Wish I could do something." And that man turned to him and said, Don't apologize. He said, "You've just given me the best news you ever could. You've told me I'm going home to be with Jesus." Friends, do you view death like that? Because to those who have an interest in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for sinners, it is the home call. And you don't fear naturally to go home, do you? You look forward to it. So by grace, if you are under the blood of Jesus Christ this morning, you have nothing to fear. Even from such a word as this. Because the other side of death, Jesus will be there. And you know something? He's there now. And he himself has told us one of the reasons he's there now. "Here's another, thus saith the Lord, for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." At death he comes again. That's him fulfilling that promise. But it's not to destroy the believer. It's to deliver the believer forever from Satan, from sin. It is leaving the wilderness of this world, which to a believer is not your home. We're only travelling through for a brief period of time. You can't rest here because you aren't home yet. Your rest will come in heaven. Because that's your home, believer. That's where your treasure lies. That's where your happiness lies. Ultimately, in perfection. Yes, we have our happinesses here. But perfect happiness. Perfect rest. Perfect peace is known there in heaven. To him says, Lord, I believe a rest remains to all thy people known. A rest where pure enjoyment reigns and thou art loved alone. Oh, that I now that rest might know, believe and enter in. Dear Saviour, now thy power bestow and let me cease from sin. Remove this hardness from my heart, this unbelief remove. To me the rest of faith impart, the Sabbath of thy love. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And for the believer, what the Lord is saying, thou shalt come home. Into my presence. Never to part again. Into my presence to receive a loving welcome. And never be cast out again. Into my presence. And delivered. From the presence of Satan. From the presence of the world. From the presence of your natural man forever. They won't follow you there into heaven. They can't. And believer, when you get home, he says, there you'll live and serve me as you wanted to do on earth but couldn't, and were so often grieved because you couldn't. And again, as the hymn says, there's a home for little children. Above the bright blue sky. Where Jesus reigns in glory. A home of peace and joy. No home on earth is like it. Nor with it can compare. For every one is happy. Nor could be happier there. You have here your trials and your griefs, child of God, here on earth. You have those things which cut very deep and have perhaps given you lasting scars, which still cause you pain and sorrow and have questions. There are no scars in heaven. All healed. There will be no questions of the way you were led. They will all be answered in heaven. Because to be with Jesus, child of God, that will be enough. To be with your bridegroom, your Redeemer, your Saviour, your refuge, your almighty friend. And to experience his almighty love. Here on earth we can only experience just the beginning. Because we are finite beings, we cannot cope with the full expression of almighty power upon us. That includes his love. But in heaven, child of God, you will know just the extent of the almighty power and the greatness and the vastness and the depth of the love of God for you. Forever. They'll never be taken from you. There you'll know peace. And that peace will never end. There will never be a ripple. There will never be a storm. Unbreakable peace. Deep peace, an abiding peace. So death is a blessing for a believer. Why should I shrink at pain or woe, or feel at death's dismay? I've Canaan's goodly land in view and realms of endless day. And it all comes, beloved friend, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. These are they which came out of great tribulation, we are told, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so if you are to get to heaven, you will learn what it is on earth to trust, to need, to value, and to rest upon the work which Jesus Christ has done in his life and in his death. So the believer goes home. But the unbeliever will leave home forever. And what they will enter into is the exact opposite of heaven. They will never, ever know peace or rest or quiet or enjoyment. No one will ever speak a kind word to them again. They'll be alone. Forever. Shut in with Satan, who they served on earth, and with the consequences of their sins, which they loved so much that they would not be parted from, and never will be parted from. So, friends, as I close this morning, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. The question for us is, when this word is, if not exactly said to us in our souls on that day, in words, but will be in action, when you come down to die, when you no longer have an hour left on earth, no longer have 10 minutes on earth, no longer even have 1 minute on earth, that's going to come. when we come down to our last seconds, will we still be a total stranger to Jesus Christ? Or will we be resting in our great Redeemer? Will you go home forever? Or will you leave home forever?
God willing, Mr. Busk will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. J.B. Wright is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 209. 209. Grace like a fountain ever flows, fresh succours to renew. The Lord my wants and weakness knows, my sins and sorrows too. Hymn 209.
Dear Saviour, may we hear thy voice and learn to follow thee. O, may thy ways be all our choice, to prove thy choice of us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us now and remain with us forever. Amen.